Turning your Bibles over to Proverbs 31, verses 28 through 31. I know what you're thinking. I saw a thing this week making fun of pastors, and it wouldn't be a Mother's Day sermon without looking at Proverbs 31. Now, in my defense, I think it's been several years since I've done Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day. I've done it at other points, but not on Mother's Day. But today, I want to take us to verse 28, really. And we'll read all the way down through verse 31. But you see from our title, we're really kind of honing in and taking a step back and looking at this statement that is made by the author here about being a blessing to our moms. I think in all of what we find from verse 10 all the way down to verse 31, you find a lot of discussion, but we don't often talk about the challenge there, the charge, if you will, to bless the moms. Now, some of our moms have gone on to be with the Lord. And so I think there is where you celebrate and bless that legacy with the next generation, telling your children and your grandchildren about the legacy and the role that she played. So I think we can do this regardless of where we're at. But I also want to say this, and I'm not trying to be political when I walk down this path, but I understand that moms who may have never given biological birth to a child can still be a mom because of adoption. And I don't think in anywhere in Scripture do we find some kind of exclusion in that. Now, you understand the danger of that statement in our world today. You know what I mean by that, in that adoption can present for a woman to be a genuine mom in ways that sometimes real moms aren't, to be honest with you. And so as we look at this passage, I want to include all of those in this discussion. Now, to give you a little bit of background, we won't read all 31 verses today, but the previous, really 18 verses, I guess it is, starting in verse 10, you find a description of the role of the woman in the Old Testament times. And I think sometimes we cheapen that role by looking at what the cultural mandate was for the woman and not looking at the scriptural mandate. God has always, listen to me carefully, God has always held in high esteem the role of the woman and the role of the mom particularly. And when we look at Scripture, sometimes there's a lot of criticism on what is not mentioned in the Old Testament, and we blur sometimes that with the culture. Now, maybe you've understood that there are a lot of people who look at it and say, well, and I dare to say this because I have a strong mom in my life, and then I have my wife who's the mother to my two daughters, and then I have two daughters that are very strong too. But and so I say this with great fear and trembling, in that you all know that I don't believe this. And that is, the Old Testament will sometimes wrongly be thought of as, here we go, don't throw anything, but the woman should be in the home, barefoot and pregnant. I just said it. I don't mean that. But that's the image that sometimes people think of when they look at the Old Testament descriptions of women. I can't tell you that there's anything further from the truth. In fact, what we find in, and I would encourage you, you've probably read it before. I know I've used this whole part of Proverbs 31 before. But you would do well to go back and read it and read the prior 18 verses leading up to 28, because it begins to make sense in understanding the accurate description of the way God views this role. And to see it any otherwise is really to miss the importance of it. And just to kind of reiterate this, let's understand the important moms that we find in Scripture. I'm just going to mention a few here. We find that, for example, the mom of Moses, Miriam, and the important role that she played, the sacrifice that she makes, and then God blesses her. The story of Ruth and the mother there and Naomi and the work that she does in now mothering someone who's not her biological child per se, but being there. And then, of course, you jump into the New Testament, and we forget that God chose what we think is somewhere of the age about 14, maybe as old as 16, a woman by the name of Mary, who is a virgin, now to be the earthly mother of the Son of God. So God has always held in high esteem the role of the mom, and particularly also including the role of the woman. All right, with all of that out of the way, let's get to the passage and just let the Bible speak for itself. I don't think it needs a lot of explanation this morning and certainly doesn't need to be defended, okay? So let me pray and then we'll start reading, as I've said, in verse 28. Go down to verse 31. I'll make some comment just to give us a proper perspective of what's going on. And then we'll come back. And this morning, I have 3 points that center around the idea of how do we bless our moms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Again, for the reason that we come here, and that's really you, and to study your word together, to worship with one another, but to be in your presence. And we know, God, that you're not locked into this room and you're only something that we come see once a week. You're with us everywhere we go. But this is our time to carve out moments in our busy week and come and sit with one another and participate both in worship and learning. And so we do that this morning. We're thankful for that privilege. We're thankful for this church community that provides this to us both in person as well as live streaming today. But as we celebrate Mom's Day today, we understand from a Christian perspective the blessings that you've given us through the moms. Now, some of us may not have had great moms. Some of us may not know our moms. But we know that you have put important role models in our lives that have served either as our mom or in some ways our surrogate mothers. And so, God, we look at that and we understand the importance of the shaping that takes place in a child's life. We see that as a testimony in our own lives. And so we celebrate them, but we also celebrate you today and the fact that you have created this role of a mother. Now, Father, I pray for a lost person this morning as we think about these things and talk about the role of the mother. This is in and of itself not an evangelistic message. But wherever we talk about your word and what Jesus did on the cross, there's always the opportunity for a lost person through the work of the Holy Spirit to see their lostness. And so as we talk about this today, I pray that your spirit would touch on something in their life. And what better day than a day like this to finally surrender and accept what Christ did on the cross and make him the Lord and Savior of your life. We'll come back to that a little bit later in our time, but for now, I want to encourage all of us to be open-minded and to look at what the Bible charges us to do here in the role of the mothers in our lives. Now, Father, as always, bless the reading of your word. Guide us as we study together. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we catch this kind of not really mid-conversation, but this would be the conclusion of this part of the proverb. And it starts with verse 28. Now listen, you've missed all 18 verses leading up to this about the work that the role of the mother does in the home and all of the labors that she gives to make sure that both her children and her husband are well respected in the community. And so we then get to verse 28 and we sort of see what we see as the blessing or the fruits of all of that work. Look at verse 28. It begins this way. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. Now this is carrying over on something that is said about the husband early on in that the community would praise the woman, the wife, the mother, because the husband is able to take his place at the city gate and be respected. It gives the image that he is able to do that because of her role sort of being in support, okay? But we also understand the image of her children now become recognized by some of the statements that it talks about, the things that they wear and the linen garments that she makes for them, all in a way so that they can be clothed in a way that now is bringing praise to them and the family. Understand that? So we find both the children and the husband are being blessed by the mother, and in exchange, God is saying here that they too should bless the mother. Now, as I've said, that's where we're going to spend some time today. So I'm not going to go on much further in that verse other than to say we'll come back and look, as I've said, 3 particular ways how we bless the moms in our lives. Okay? So let's go on verse 29 just to give us the continuation of the story. But it talks then about the image here, and it goes on, verse 29. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Now, this is my moment to speak to mothers here. You are able to be this great image of a mother and a woman simply because of your faith. Make no mistake about that. It's God's power. So look with me here. We find the, and I'm not making the role of the woman a divine character here, but just stick with me here. We find sort of the sequencing going on in the way that this is written, that the woman stands behind the man and the children in the home and pushes them, builds ladders for them, creates access for them to be able to go into the world and be what they need to be. So when we begin to talk about what motivates the mother, we find that God stands behind her, gifts her in a unique way that's very different in the way that he gifts husbands and dads, but he gifts them, and through his power, they're able to accomplish the huge task of running and managing and raising the children and supporting the husbands. So the woman's faith has to be on the forefront of this discussion. A mother who is not right with the Lord will find, and listen to this, will find disrepair and chaos in her home because she's not allowing the power of God to flow through her. And that then begins to leave an image. Now let me go on to say this. I firmly believe this. Moms and dads leave an imprint on the blueprint of their children's lives. You see it in your life. I see it in my life. I have parts of my dad and parts of my mom, not just because they're biological parents, but because of the imprint they've left on my life. I mean, I can't deny it. It's there. It's there for you too. And so what we're being reminded of here is, listen, there are traits and images and views that we leave with our children, but there's also, listen to this, the lessons of life and the things that help them to be equipped. I don't think God makes any mistakes in giving us the moms and the dads that he gives us. They are there, including the challenges and sometimes the struggles, in order to shape us to be what God wants us to be in our own lives. He could have picked anybody, but he picked you, your mom. He picked you to be the mother of your children, you to be the father of your children. And so we should never get away from the divine part of this. And I love how he is making sure that we walk back through this. And he reiterates it really in verse 30 and capstones it when he says this. Read with me in verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will greatly be praised. Now listen, if you didn't understand what we were saying in verse 29, that makes it clear right there. So listen, the young boys, the young men, you can pick the most beautiful, outwardly looking woman in the world, but she still won't surpass in beauty a woman who loves the Lord, lets her faith guide her role, and now becomes one who passes on the fear of the Lord into her children and her husband. That's where beauty begins to be set. And so it's just a reminder of priorities here. The world has messed this up, and we have value in things that really aren't valuable when it comes to the way a woman looks and what she does. And then he goes on in verse 31, just to kind of capstone in it, it sort of circled back, and it says that her husband and even her children are praised publicly for her. But look what it says in verse 31. The same extends to her. Reward her for all she has done. By the way, that's not just one day a year, okay? Not just on Mother's Day. We ought to reward them constantly. How? By praising them and blessing them. But it goes on in the last part of this. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. In other words, she receives praise from those in the community and around because of what she does as a godly woman. Now, it does become a loaded sort of passage, and we could talk about every one of these parts, but as I've said, we're going to come back to verse 28. And I'm not going to go long this morning. Verse 28, where it does say, her children stand and bless her. That stand phrase is really a reference to respect. You stand for something that you respect, right? And so when they stand to bless her, they're standing out of respect. So we're going to take that idea of respect and now begin to flow that into the particular ways that we bless our moms. So there's three this morning. Number one is this. We respect her for the God-given role that she has. That's the first one. Respect her God-given role. Listen, this is not something that cultures created, although I believe different cultures have different mandates and expectations on the role of the mother. But what we're getting to is beyond that. It's much deeper. It's the instinctive role that God has implanted in the wife and the mother of children. It's something that you don't teach them. It's something that now becomes very natural. And just to reference this, no mother had to be sat down and given a manual that says, you're going to take care of your children. You're going to care for them. You're going to be the nurturer for your children. You're going to protect them if it even requires your own life. Nobody taught you to do that. As a mother, it's an instinctive role that God implanted in your life. And now as you begin to see that, you now have a natural desire to do those things. To have anything else, and we can look in the news and the horrible examples sometimes where mothers, I believe the only explanation is because of an evil presence in their life, will go counterintuitive to that and now try to harm their children. Years ago, we had one in South Carolina that drowned her two kids in the back of a car that she locked them in and then put the gas on and drove them into a lake. How do you explain natural instinct to care for a child and then explain that a mother does that? Well, again, I go back. I don't have an explanation except that I understand the strength and the power of God's instinct that he plants in them, and for that to now begin to be pushed to the side and violence come to the surface, there is no other explanation than evil. You talk about, is demon possession still around? Well, that could be an example of it. That's the only way my mind can comprehend how someone can violate the very role that God has given them. It's a God-given role. And so we have to understand to respect that. Now note this, we don't always have to like it or agree with it, but we respect it. And we can look back at the role that our mothers have played in our lives, mine particularly, and there were times that I wasn't really happy with the decision that was being made. The discipline, the physical discipline sometimes. I didn't like it at that moment, but it was useful in correcting me. And understanding that the love that my mother had for me and the love that your mother had for you is guiding them in that process. But listen to me. Their faith always is a part of that. And so it is, I'll say this, I think it's an extension of God's desire to put that in that blueprint on your life. We talk about purpose and meaning. Now, I've never said that, you know, a big light comes on one day and the sky goes dark and there's a light shining on you that now just makes very vivid your purpose and meaning. It's not like that. God begins to use his tools and instruments. Sometimes it's very subtle. He uses moms and your dads to begin to imprint what that purpose and meaning and part of the role they play is also showing you what that looks like in their own lives. And now beginning to be much more than just a caregiver, they're now beginning, listen, as a guide through your life and helping you. I've had more of these in my life, but coming through the potholes and the obstacles and having a mother and father that will guide you through that, that is an essential part of their role. And it's one that we have to accept. It's one that we have to honor. It's one that we now begin to see in our own lives as we have children, those of us who do. And you see that image now being presented in our own lives. I laugh at myself. You know, I used to, and I'm talking about my dad here because I'm a guy and I'm a father. So we'll get more about dads on Father's Day. But it's funny to me, as I've gotten older, I'm turning into my dad, not just because of the commercial that you see on TV, but I really am. I have gotten enamored. I know some of you don't have cable. We don't have cable, but we have streaming, and I have Pluto. I'm not advertising Pluto's free streaming service, but if you're a guy and you're into this, they have a 24-hour-a-day Western channel. All it shows is old Westerns. Listen, I laugh at that now because I can remember as a kid walking into the room and my dad watching Westerns or Gunsmoke. They have a 24-hour Gunsmoke channel that just runs them over and over and over again. And I used to laugh at my dad and think, I'm never going to be that way. Well, guess what I was watching this morning before I came to church? The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I mean, you can't get any better than that on Mother's Day. And so here I am watching. I'm turning into my dad. And part of it is really the unseen influence. And a lot of that is the image that I see and the desires that I have. Listen, you will see that in your own children. Both the good and the bad, to be honest with you. And as moms, it's something at this side of it. Some of you are still new enough in this that you get to choose what parts you're going to emphasize. What parts you're going to put at the forefront. What part of that role that you have that you're going to make sure get set in concrete in your kids' lives. Now, I do got to say this before I go any further. You can do all of those things exactly the way God chooses you to do those, but you can't control how your children respond. Amen? Sometimes they're just going to do it a different way, and that's not necessarily a reflection on you. Note, nowhere in these 31 verses does it talk about behavior, stupid things the kids did in public, things they did to other children, to other people's homes, none of that. It's all talking about the fact that they are able to live an effective and we'll say successful lives in the eyes of the community and of God because of the woman. So we got to be careful that we don't take the blame sometimes for the stupid things that our kids do. I've done some stupid things. They don't reflect on my mom and dad. It's just things that I decided, despite what they told me, I decided to try it myself a different way. But even in that, moms and dads are there to kind of help you back on that path and to get you going where you need to go because God uses them. Number two is this. We've got to respect their God-given role. Number two is this. We need to respect her God-given wisdom. Listen, the older I get, the more I realize the wisdom that moms have, my mom and her wisdom. And it's not about degrees. It's not about college class, master's degree. It has nothing to do with that. Wisdom is simply defined this way in this role. Think of it. It's the ability to see the life and the world and events and everything else the way God sees it. And so when we begin to see wisdom from the mother, it's the experience from her perspective. I said earlier, the mother's the nurturer. Man, that didn't become very vivid as much as it is now until I had my own children. And it's amazing that, again, nobody sat my kids down and said, okay, now listen, if you fall and hurt yourself and you're bleeding, don't go to dad. Okay, go to mom. Because mom's the nurturer. She's going to coddle you. She's going to hug you. She's going to take care of you. If you go to dad, and my kids did this a couple of times because mom wasn't close by or I was there, and they come to me. And as a man, hey, it's not bleeding that bad, okay? One time my daughter had a broken collarbone and the other one a broken ankle. And you know what I said to them? They'll never let me get this down now. Hey, just walk it off. You'll be fine. Just walk it off. That's the way God created me. Hey, unless you are laying on the floor unconscious, we're not going to worry about it right yet. And if it's bad, it will be bad tomorrow, and we can take him. In both cases, we had to take him to the hospital. And my wife's telling me that, you know, see, that's why you're not the nurturer. You're not. You're the fixer. And the fixing it is, hey, just put that leg up and don't move it. And that's fine. We'll just wrap some tape around it, duct tape. I got plenty in the garage. We'll just wrap it around it, and you'll be good to go. Listen, as we think about that wisdom and the roles that they play, they are distinct. And the wisdom, the ability for a mom to see the world through her eyes now becomes an important part of us. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but God is neither male nor female. Do you understand that? He really exhibits both qualities. Now, he chose in Scripture, we can't get away from this, to reveal himself as a father and in that male figure. But if we talk about being created in the image of God, make sure you understand that both the masculine and the feminine characters of the created, that's the women and the men, are created in his image because he encompasses both of those. And so all of that gets to the point that when a woman has certain levels of seeing things and seeing them from a different perspective. The point I was making about my kids, they see the hurt and the pain. I see just, oh my gosh, how do I fix this? I can't set ankles and fix broken bones. But the woman sees it in the way that God created her. And so it becomes an important deposit of wisdom in their children. It's God-given wisdom. Make no mistake about that. And so it's an important part of our making, our upbringing, and now being sort of settled in who we are. And then the third one is this, and this one is a little unusual, but we've said that we need to respect the God-given role. We need to respect her God-given wisdom. And number three is that we need to respect her God-given gifts. Now, these go both ways. This is what makes this one a little hard. You have natural gifts that every one of us have that are unique to, as we said the other week, our personalities, our passions, and our spiritual gifts. They're unique to those. And so each one of us have a unique mix. But there are also, as we would say, just some gifts that God gives moms. We talked about one of them, which is the nurturing quality. They didn't give that to the men, gave that to the mom. And the understanding. I mean, there are things that I could talk to mom about that I could never talk to dad because of, in part, her personal gifts, but also the role that she plays. You know, and it's an important thing that we understand those gifts. You have the gifts of womanhood, the gifts of momhood, the gifts, as we said, of her individual sort of makeup of who she is and what makes her unique. The older we get, the more we begin to see the importance of those gifts. And when we begin to see some of those maybe beginning to deposit in us in the way that we're gifted, in the way that we operate, it becomes an important reminder, as we said, of the deposit, the traits, all of those things that the moms and the dads put into our lives. And it's a tool, an instrument, as we're saying, that God uses to help us to become who he wants us to be is that role. So as we think about blessing our moms, those are three ways. There are a lot of ways. And as I've said, this is not something that is once a year, by the way. I mean, we celebrate Mom's Day. We'll have Dad's Day as well. But the truth is that moms need to be celebrated every single day. We need to be a blessing to our moms every single day. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of your word and for this passage and what it means. So often when we talk about the role of the woman, it helps, I think, to clarify for us today what really a godly woman looks like in the role. We live in such a chaotic and confusing world today that it's hard to imagine how just difficult it is for moms and dads to really figure out what their real role is. And so we're thankful for passages like these. You knew when you had this written what it would mean for us today. But some of us are just discovering through the series of reading the importance of these kinds of passages. So Father, I pray that today first for all of our parents, that you would help us to be able to play those roles, to be the moms and even the dads as we talk about that parenthood, to do that in a way that honors you. And to be a blessing to you and understand the divine aspect of that. But as we celebrate moms particularly today and we think about that role and the importance that it has for us, help us to be a blessing to our moms in whatever ways we need to be, much more than just one day a year. And to be thankful for them, whether they're still on this earth or not, learning to be appreciative of the influence and impact that they've had on our lives. And we celebrate that legacy really every single day that we take a breath and live another day. because that image is still part of who we are and now part of our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids, and it continues just to be passed down. Now, Father, I go back to what we said in the beginning. If there's somebody here or listening or watching that's never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, then we would be remiss if we didn't give them an opportunity. Though, as we've said, this is not really an evangelistic message. Your Spirit is always working evangelistically in lost people's lives. And so maybe today, this is that moment where you have revealed to them, finally, that it's time to settle that issue and surrender. And so that's a simple process. I want to lead in a prayer. But if you make that decision today, then if you're here, I want you to come and talk with me about it. Or if you're at home, reach out and call somebody that you know is a believer, or to call us here at the church office. But the prayer of salvation is very simple. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm in desperate need of forgiveness. And I believe that what Jesus did on the cross covers that. Through Him, I can have forgiveness and a fulfilling and meaningful life. I can be what You have originally designed me to be through Jesus. So today I ask for You to forgive me of my sins, and I choose today to invite Jesus into my heart to be both my Lord and my Savior, and I choose to live for Him from this day forward. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of commitment, and I'm going to ask you to come forward and share that with me. If you're at home, as I've said, call us or call somebody to share with them that you've made that decision. Now, the rest of us, as believers, you may be under conviction today that you're not celebrating your mother the right way. Or maybe you have pent-up anger toward that person in your life. And maybe there's forgiveness that needs to be dealt with. Maybe you're a mom and your faith has been put on the back burner, and you know that. And so today it's more a call for you to be the mother that God's ordained and designed you to be, but to do that with your faith at the forefront. And the only way that happens is by digging deeper into your faith. So maybe for you, it's about rededication. Now, Father, I don't know what decisions particularly need to be made. But we come now to what I think is the most important time of our service. It's our time to respond to You. So if someone just wants to come and kneel and pray, maybe they're praying about their kids or something else, or if they have a decision to be made, we give this time to You. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?